Do you live with the truth that there are two natures in each person? In your life, have you asked Jesus Christ to change your old nature for the new? Paul talks about this in his chapter that we are going to look at this morning. We will investigate Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to the end. And we're going to find out an answer to these life-changing questions. So I'm going to turn over to Zoom now. Let's just see how we do this. And then we'll just turn over to Zoom here. Might take a second. I'm sorry. Looks like this got turned off. It shouldn't have. But anyway, we'll turn it over to Zoom and we'll share the screen. Isn't technology wonderful when you know what you're doing? I don't know what I'm doing. But I know who I'm doing it for. That's the important thing. And okay, now we'll get on Zoom again. And Roy's going to let me in, I hope. Maybe he's not.
Are you on?
Yes, you're downloading from starting in a few seconds. I'm waiting for you to let me in. Launch me. Sorry.
Didn't see you yet.
You don't see me. Well, okay, let's try it again. I'll go into yours. There. Allow. Good morning. Looks like we're in. Wow, that's fantastic. And we're just going to share the screen. And fantastic. Share the screen. Share. There we go. So here we are. Are we here? Yes, there we go. We made it. What a trip. So this morning, Ephesians. And we're going to be enjoying Ephesians together. That's for sure. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, that you put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 32. But to put on the new man, we have to put off the old man. So it's putting on. So it is not a negative message. I am not a negative person. I'm a positive person. It's not just putting off something, it's putting on something. And that's the important part of it. So let's open your Bibles up, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to the end. And we're going to actually try to read it. And I didn't ask you ahead of time. Would you like to read it? Ephesians chapter 17, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to the end. Okay? Okay, and follow along in your Bibles, please. And if you haven't got your Bible open, you can follow along on the screen. So Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to the end. Thank you, Eric. Sorry I didn't ask you ahead of time.
No problem. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Amen. Thank you for that lovely reading of the scriptures. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for scripture. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given it to us in so many different forms. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can read it, we can study it, and we can try to practice it. Help us to practice it, Heavenly Father. Help us to be pliable, as we said this morning, like clay in the master's hand. Help us, Heavenly Father, that the word of God this morning will come to us and work in us and through us, and that we'll leave this meeting, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's in-house, that we'll leave here, Heavenly Father, blessed, but even more so challenged, Heavenly Father. Change us, we pray. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you for that reading. Have you got rid of the old man for the new man? Have you? That's a very important question. That's a question that I want you to ask yourself this morning, wherever you are. This morning we talked about why. Why are we saved? But this is a little more in detail, in the sense that it's asking you, if you're a Christian, have you put off the old man? If you're a non-Christian, have you put on the new man? It's a very important question. Very important question. And the way we're going to tackle the subject is exactly in 3 points. The introduction, the 3 points is the source of the conflict, the source of the problem, the source of why we haven't got that relationship with God that we should have. That source of why do we always losing in the battle? And the second point we're going to talk about is the solution for this conflict, for this problem. And that is, the solution is the new man. The source is the old man, the solution is the new man, and then we're going to talk about a subject we don't talk very much about, but the key solution to conflict is the Holy Spirit in chapter 4, verse 30. Are you ready? I'm looking forward to it myself. Let's look at first the source of the conflict. It's the old man. There's a war going on in your heart. And if there's not a war, check yourself out. Check with the doctor, the heavenly doctor. There's a war going on me all the time. There's two natures in me. I want to do this, but I should do that. I shouldn't do this, I should do that. And I go back. And it's a battle. It's a war. You know, because the Bible does say that all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. So the source of the conflict is the old man. And the main source of the conflict is our old nature. There is, even in the believer, a strong indwelling disposition to do what we want to do. Or maybe not for you, but for me. I know I'm a missionary and a preacher and all those wonderful things, but there's a conflict going on. Because I realize that at one time in my life, many years ago, I did put on the new man, but still the old man's there. The devil's up there wanting me to do what I shouldn't do, wanting me not to listen to the Bible, wanting me to put on the old man, but the old sin nature, the old man, the flesh, and I'm using these terms interchangeable, puts us in a very awkward position. What is the source of quarrels and conflict among you? Is not the source your pleasure that wages war in your member? Yes? We are in a spiritual battle. I can remember when I was younger, I used to get more excited when I got with preaching. And I can remember saying one time in a meeting, and I got called up after the meeting in the elders' quarters. What I said is, I said, well, come on, Satan, come on, let's fight. But it's not that easy. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle. And I battle, and I can't do it by myself. I don't care if I'm active and fairly strong and I've got a few abilities physically, but I can't do nothing without the Lord. And it's a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle going on 24/7. You know, that's why we said that we should put on the whole armor of God. It's the good and the evil and the good and the evil. And we are told to fight the good fight of faith. So it's a battle. And unfortunately, we can't use boxing gloves. I've never really been in a fight in my life. I played sports. I've never been in a fight in sport. I don't think I've ever punched anybody in the head. Even though maybe I've wanted to sometime. No, I never wanted to. No, I didn't want to do that. No. But you know, I think I could. But with regards to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we are to put on the whole armor of God. Yes, it's the spirit and the flesh. A number of other factors also, when coupled with this sinful nature, the flesh, the old nature, leads us to crime. We all here this morning on Zoom land, out there in Zoom land, and here in house, we're all different. Different backgrounds, different experiences, different families, different languages, different income levels. But we all have that same conflict. We all have that battle because we have the two nature, the flesh, the old man, the old self. But the new nature is the spirit, the new man, the new self. Yes, we have the two nature. But you know, I'm telling you right now, and we're going to see this from the Word of God, not from Ron Edgecombe, but you can overcome Satan. When you got saved, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have. Now, if you haven't, you're in the right place this morning because we're going to be talking about that. But if you are a Christian, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You can. I've experienced. And when I don't let him rule my life, then I do goof and I make mistakes and I sin. But isn't it wonderful we have 1 John 1 and 9? That's one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of my favorite verses. I use it quite often. But you know, it's wonderful to be a part of the family of God and a part of 16, because we can help one another. We can encourage one another. We can stimulate one another. Yes, I've been exhorted and I've accepted exhortation because 90% of the time, the person was right. I don't get my back up like a cat when he sees a dog. So if you have a word of exhortation, give it out in love. But with all these different factors, the underlying reason for conflict is the old man. And that's what we've got. You know what we need? We need a change, a radical change. We've got to make that 180-degree turn. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, a radical change takes place. Not overnight. It's not zoom like that. You're going to see later on. As we said this morning, we're going to see it again today, that we're under construction. We're a work in process. But becoming a new person in Christ, he gives us that power to have that radical change. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Now we are to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. There's the thing that is so important. It's only through Jesus that we can make a radical change. And you can try and try and try, and you won't succeed. You know, look at the passage. I mean, this is such a beautiful passage. And it challenged me as I was studying it for the last couple of weeks. And it's just been absolutely amazing what God has taught me. Look at some of those verses. For instance, in verse 24, it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. God makes us a new person, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The power of the old man has been broken. It has been broken. When you were saved. Now, if you aren't saved, if you haven't got saved, you can't break it. But you can break it if you ask Jesus to come into your life. Jesus is there with his arms wide open. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to get rid of that old nature. And you are involved in the ongoing process of renewing your mind. Look at verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. An attitude. When we got saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Bible here, let the Holy Spirit, let him renew your thoughts and attitude. You can become a new person in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You must believe that God says this, and he does say that you are a new person in Christ, and you must act upon that truth in your behavior. Satan won't let you get away with nothing. He'll be there accusing you. I like when I was a kid. I remember in Sunday school, there was Satan with his dart, with a bow and arrow. But we have the shield. We have the word of God. We can stop that. And we have that in us if we have Jesus. And that is, as I said this morning, and I won't go into too much, but we're under construction, as you learned this morning. As I said, this is something that is in process. And you know, Harold can help you. You can help me. I can help you. All you out there in Zoom land, write in the chat there. Write in the chat that if you need any help, call me. We can help one another. That's what the local church is all about. It's the edification of the saints. That's why you have a gift. That's why I have a gift. I can't do what our dear sister and brother just did. If I picked up that guitar, you'd all run out of here. But that's the gift God has given it to me. And they helped us to praise God this morning, even though we had to hum. Oh, boy. Oh. But I'm willing to hum for Jesus if that's all I can do. The rocks will cry out, it says in the word of God. So let's help one another as we are trying to live that life that is not always easy. That's not always easy. The solution to conflict and problem, the solution is the new man, verse 25 to 32. The new man replaces falsehood with truth. The new man replaces indifference with proper anger. We're going into that. The new man replaces selfishness in giving. The new man places destructive speech with constructive speech. And the new man replaces improper anger with kindness and forgiveness. We're going to touch these things. The new man replaces falsehood with truth. So stop telling lies. See, yeah, I know this is written to the local church. I agree with that. Paul is applying this principle, the relationship in the church, the members of one another. But how about your relationship with God? I am applying it. I'm not interpreting it. I'm applying it to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Stop lying and saying that you're a good man, good woman. Stop lying and saying, well, I'm not a big sinner. I'm just a little sinner. I haven't killed anybody. Come on now. I don't need to accept God. You're lying to yourself. You're fibbing to yourself. The problem is that you haven't come to the realization of your position. And I'm hoping today that you will come to that realization. You know, the Bible talks about leprosy is a perfect metaphor of sin. God uses, Paul is using the analogy of the body here. But I'm trying to present the communication with God, the conflict with God. You can come towards God through Jesus. Now, if you had leprosy, say you had leprosy in your hand. And you know something? You don't feel it. See, what happens is the communication between the brain and your hands not working, and you can actually burn off your fingers without knowing it. For healing and correction to take place, there must be a truthful communication. And God is saying to you to get into your head and into your heart that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to get in. It's like leprosy. You know, what we do, we just go around with a smiling face. Yeah, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Yeah, but everything isn't okay. And if you are a Christian, and you can see from these verses that we must get away from falsehood. We must be truthful men and women for Jesus in everything. This is so important. In reality, the kind of behavior is more destructive than speaking truth in love. That is, if you neglect, if you don't put off the old man and put on the new man, it's destructive. And we just can't walk around all day long with a happy face saying everything's okay. You're lying to yourself. Because the Bible shows that everything isn't okay, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The new man replaces indifference with proper anger. What does it mean? And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you still are angry. Dear friend, don't be indifferent to God's call on your life. Don't be angry with God. He loves you and he wants to have you. He wants you to put on the new man, the new nature. He wants you to put off the old man and put on the new man. That is so important. We get angry at God, but we mustn't get angry at God. This indifference to God, maybe it's because of a loved one who passed on, maybe because of the pandemic, maybe because of loss of job, maybe because problem in the family. We get mad at God. We get angry at God. But God has a reason for everything he does. And he is so patient with you and I. It's unreal. You know, I do a lot of preaching, but I never preach on patience. It's one of the gifts that I have a problem with. I don't have too much patience. I'm a go-getter. Move it. Move it or lose it. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The Lord is there waiting for you. He wants you. Patiently, he's waiting for you. Maybe that's why you hooked up this morning on Zoom. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. I don't know. But God wants us all to put off the old man and put on the new man. The new man replaces selfishness with giving. The world says, be selfish. That's what the world says. Be selfish. Stop giving. It's all about you. You deserve it. Come on now. You deserve more money. You deserve a bigger house. You deserve a better car. That's what the world says. But in verse 28, he's talking about the need of a Christian to be honest, hardworking people who are oriented towards giving, not taking. But there's a principle here that applies to resolving conflicts in your relationship with God. The old man is motivated by selfishness, out to get what he wants for himself, preferably without much effort, of course. He looks out for his own needs and isn't concerned about others' needs except to exploit them for his own benefit. That's the old man. The new man, however, is not lazy, not self-centered. He works hard in order to glorify God. He's not in the relationship with what he can get out of it. It's what he can give. And that's what it's all about, the local church. This at 16. What can you give back to God? He's given you everything. What do you give back to him? These young people are giving their talent to God. Praise God. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you've lost a deacon. Maybe you feel led to be a deacon. Talk to your elders about it. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe helping an ESL. I don't know. But stop being selfish and give. That's the new man. That's the new person. That's the new nature. I encourage you to give your life over to Jesus primarily. That's the most important thing. If you haven't, why don't you do it today? What a beautiful Sunday morning to get. Sunday afternoon, I should say, giving your life over to saying, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Confess your sins. Realize that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary, and he wants you to come to him. So get rid of that old man. Put that man in the closet. Shut the door. Lock it. And take on the new man. And start giving. Stop being selfish. That's what Paul is talking about here in regards to the local church as well as we are applying it. Yes, the new man replaces destructive speech with constructive speech. Notice what 2 Timothy 22 says. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and patience, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Call on the Lord today. Psalm 120, verse 1 says, I called on the Lord in my distress. Stop lying to yourself. You might think you're okay, but you're not okay. Those addictions we have, those problems, those lies, that cheating. Oh, but come on, Ron, it's only one raisin at the supermarket. It's only one grape at the supermarket. Just one. It's only one candy or two candy. I mean, come on, these are small things, but they're sin. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He will give you that new man. I get excited about this. I've spoken on this all over the world. Why? Because I believe that's the answer for today. I'm not going to go into the political races and all that kind of stuff, but boy, if we put Jesus number one in our life, there'll be no racism. No racism whatsoever. Because as we read the New Testament, Jesus was not a person of racist. He loved every life mattered. Don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But you understand what I'm saying. That's biblical. The new man replaces improved anger with kindness and forgiveness. It says here in verse 31 in your Bibles, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Yes, there are six behaviors of the old man we must put off. There's the bitterness, there's wrath, there's anger, there's clamor, there's slander, and malice. By yourself, you can't do it. By myself, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't put off those things. But with Christ, I can. As I read the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit works through His Word in my life, I can put these things off. Wouldn't you like to live a pure life? Wouldn't you like to live a tranquil life? Wouldn't you love to live a life that you can have peace? If you want to have peace in your life, you know what you have to do? Get more money? Look at the Hollywoods. Look at all the money with all the money. They got money. They got no peace. The only way to have peace in your life is ask the Prince of Peace to come into your life. And if you've asked the Prince of Peace to come into your life and you're not living under the control of the Holy Spirit, you can have it if we confess those things. Yes? Instead of being kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ through God through Christ has forgiven you, God forgave you. And we have to ask him for his forgiveness. He's given it to us. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as your brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is reality. This is life with a capital F. You want to have abundant life with a capital abundant life, A and L? I have it. In spite of, a pesar de, we say in Spanish. Maybe French, I don't know. But in spite of all the situation we're in, you can have peace, you can have happiness if you accept Jesus. And if you have accepted Jesus, and you're not living in him, you're going to be the most miserable person in the world. I believe the Christians that are backslidden, Christians that are not living the Christian life, they're more miserable than the people in the world because they know the truth. But this is why I encourage you to look at this passage at home later on and just go through it again. God will bless you. Very important. Now, the key to conflict is the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. See, when we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, the Father loved us. He loved us so much he gave his Son, but also Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And he's in us. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We are. But we have to allow him to move in us. Yeah. Lord, use me, usame. Every morning when I get up, my feet hit the little rug and beside my bed. I said, usame, use me, Lord. And I know the Holy Spirit will and has. And I want to thank that brother who mentioned, we put a Bible in that little box down there. Wasn't my idea. Sorry. I didn't see it. But beautiful. Brand new box. I took a picture of it. You want to show you? After. There's a little box down there with a bunch of books in it. There's a New Testament. I stole it from the church. But it's over there. And it wasn't my idea. I'm just giving you an example, please. But these are the kind of things you've got to keep watching. And where can I do it? How can I do it? The Holy Spirit. Yes? I saw this chart somewhere. Falsehood changed to speaking truthful. Verse 25. Sinful anger changed to sinless, brief anger. Old self, stealing. New self, work and share. Old self, wholesome talk. New, unwholesome talk. New self, take talk that builds others up. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice, change. Now, in closing, I'm going to give an example. And again, I checked a couple of people before the meeting to see that. You know, excuse a personal example, but it's just like that person that came up to me and said, there's a box down there. See, I didn't see it. But boy, in 2 minutes, there was a Bible there. But here's what happened yesterday. You mind? Can I, maybe I shouldn't. It's a personal example. Here I am yesterday. I'm out working in my backyard. I go over my sermon 2 or 3 times. And then I did have ants in my pants after going over my message 2 or 3 times. And I'm standing and I'm looking down and I see this. And every day I pass by there and I see that. And I see that. And I see that. And I see that. And I pray for the renters in there, renters downstairs, upstairs. And I pray for them, but I see that. So what did I do? I said, Lord, what can I do? I've been praying for that renter. So what do? I go down there. That's my Sunday meeting suit. I go down there. And I start digging. I start shoveling. Excuse a personal example, but just to show you what can be done. Well, I'm working there, and that little kid there, he's up in the house up there. He says, "Hi." And I'm there working away, sweating. "Hi, hi, hi." Oh, half hour at least. Oh, he was bugging me. Then the dog comes out and starts barking. But then the grandma comes out with him to see this guy who's working there and saying hi to his grandson. Now, she didn't speak a word of English, but he did. But I'd wanted to talk to that family since they moved in about 6-7 years ago. That's the first time. So I'm working with a little kid. So the neighbor on the other side comes over and he says, "Hi." A perfect English, Oriental lady, wonderful person. I didn't know her before. I wanted to know her. She said, "What are you doing that for?" I said, "Well, you want the truth?" "Yeah." I said, "Are you sure you want the truth?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm a preacher and I'm going to practice. I'm trying to practice what I preach." And I said, "It's much harder to practice what I preach than to preach." Oh, she said, "Well, you know," she took a step back and she stood there with a mask on. I had my mask at, when she came, not with a little kid, but with a. So I'm talking to her, having a great time with her. And if you notice that the grass there, I live almost 6 houses down. So I went home to get my borriador, my weed eater. I wanted to cut that, but I had no electricity. So I went up to the door with my mask and I knocked on the door and I said, "Hi, I'm wondering if I could plug this in your house." And the guy looks at me. I said, "Excuse me, so I'm wondering if I could plug this somewhere here. Do you have an out plug? You speak English?" "No." "Hablo español?" "Sí." He spoke Spanish, Mexicano. I had a wonderful conversation with him. I didn't get electricity. I didn't preach the sermon to him, but he asked me what I was doing. I told him what I was doing. I'm fine. So anyway, we're working there, had a great time. A car comes down. A Portuguese guy lives over there. He said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just helping a neighbor, trying to be a kind neighbor." "Oh, oh. Obrigado. Obrigado. Ciao, ciao." I finished it. And that's what it looked like. There's what it looked like in the beginning. And there's what it looked like 3 hours later. And sure, I had a lot of rubbish. Then I'm going home with these things, 6 houses up. What happens? The lady came to my house to meet my wife because I told her my wife's name was Gloria. And she couldn't believe that somebody 6 houses up would come down there, didn't ask permission because it's on the boulevard. So I didn't have to ask permission. It's outside of the fence. I didn't go over the fence. And we had a chance to witness to her. Amen. Again, I apologize in a sense for giving a personal example. There's one example. 4 people I was able to talk to and break the ice with, and I haven't been able to do it. So look for ways, dear brothers and sisters. Amen. And you who have not accepted the Lord, look to Jesus. And, you know, he'll give you the joy. Sure, I went home and licked my wounds after that. 3 full hours of shoveling with a rake and a shovel and everything. Sure, but I was just praising the Lord. And I think maybe that sermon of not talking, just working, probably worked better sometimes than some of my sermons. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for 16. We thank you for all that they do for the community here, Heavenly Father. We pray especially for ESL. We pray, Heavenly Father, too, as they go around and give out pamphlets and talk to people on the street. We pray, Heavenly Father, you might continue to bless, that you'll bring people back to the fold, bring them back to the gathering of the saints, if it's safe for them. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the attitude here at 16th, Heavenly Father, that they're keeping Zoom open and they're keeping the door open. And we just pray that you might bless this message and take this example, a little personal, but take this example, Heavenly Father, and use it for your honor and glory, because we can certainly sing for great things he has done for us. And if any out there, Heavenly Father, in Zoom land or here in-house have never accepted your son as their personal savior, may they do so. And those who have accepted your son, Heavenly Father, help them continue putting off the old man. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his honor and glory. Amen. Yeah.